Have you been using Mint to manage your finances? First, you probably know the bad news. Mint has shut down. But here's the good news. There is a better alternative. Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. I have been using Monarch Money for over a year now, and it makes my weekly money dates so much easier and a lot less stressful. I tried all of the other personal finance apps, but they just didn't work for me. I love Monarch because I can see exactly where my money is going and track my goals all at the same time. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, your investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Monarch has a tool that also lets you easily import your data from Mint so you can keep all of your tags and categories. And unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, very intuitive design makes it so easy to set up, customize, and use. And one of the features I love most is Monarch has built-in features to collaborate with your partner, your family, or your financial advisor. You can invite them to your account at no extra cost. They get their own login, and you can have a joint view of your finances. Monarch is also the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up automatic rules for transactions. You can go to town with Monarch. Plus, they have ad-free privacy you can trust. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of the show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking secrets to save for college for your kid.
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton-Game. It will expand your brain.
So I know there are a lot of people listening to the podcast that aren't young millennials, right? Myself included, I'm actually on the cusp between Gen X and millennial. I'm probably in that there's like a 3-year ban of complete confusion. Like, what exactly are you? I'm still trying to figure it out. I think it's because I don't like to be labeled. That's probably why I'm not actually in one particular demographic or another. That's what I'm going to call it. Anyway, I digress. I know there's a lot of you listening who are starting a family or maybe who have a family, who have a young child, and you're starting to think of ways to save for college. And, you know, you may actually be just totally petrified and mortified that in the not too distant future, you're actually going to have to start thinking about things like buying cars and college and helping to buy a first house and all of those like big milestones that seem to come way too fast, especially when you're a new parent. So I've not done a lot of podcasts about saving for college for your child, but I thought, you know, let's just dive into that topic. And those of you who are listening who may be younger millennials, maybe this will set you up for, you know, when you get engaged, you get married, and then you start, you know, going down the path of starting your family. And what I like to tell people is I want you to think of it this way. There are no loans for retirement, right? You cannot decide to retire and then say, hey, I need like $1 million, $2 million, $3 million loan to cover me for 30 years through retirement. But there are loans for college. And so I just say that as food for thought, because I think sometimes, especially when you have a new family, like what I hear over and over again is like, oh my God, we got to start saving for college. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, which is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing that you, you know, totally love and adore this little bitty thing that either you adopted or fostered or, you know, came out of you, and that you want to make sure that they go to college. That is a totally great and obvious goal, right? But what I want you to start thinking about as well is, are you in check? So are your finances in check? You know, do you have money saved for emergency fund? Are you contributing to your retirement plans? Like, where are you on the financial spectrum? And what happens a lot of times is that you end up diverting money that you should actually be saving for your own retirement towards saving for your child. And then, you know, down the line, you realize like, oh, wait a minute, we actually haven't saved enough for retirement. And what's super cool and awesome, and you know, like if I could literally like put a chip in everybody's brain, is the younger you are and the earlier you start saving, you can actually save such a small amount of money. But if you're saving it over a really long time horizon, you know, you can end the race when you want to make a different lifestyle choice with a lot more money in your bucket than anyone who maybe has started, you know, like late 30s or early 40s saving for retirement. Like they got to save a lot more money just to get to the same place that, you know, you who started super early, like in your young 20s, have gotten with very few, or I guess I should say with a very little amount that you started investing with. So, you know, I don't want you to put off saving for yourself and put that in jeopardy because you want to save for your child. Again, it's a totally awesome and amazing goal to save for college. You know, there's lots of ways to kind of skin this college game, and I'm just going to talk about a few of them on this podcast. But again, I just want to kind of like frame your thinking because I want you to make sure that you're taken care of. You know, it reminds me, like, I used to think this was like a horrible thing to say, but now I get it. So when you go on the airplane and they're doing that like safety demonstration, you know, the one that none of us listen to anymore, that one, yes, I want you to channel that one. And they're telling you like, okay, well, oxygen masks will deploy if there's not enough oxygen, and put the mask on yourself before you put it on your child. Well, I used to think that was a horrible thing to say. Like, why would you do that? Doesn't your child need more oxygen than you do? But it's really such a great, like, overriding principle in life. You got to put on your mask first. You got to take care of yourself. And that doesn't mean you neglect the other people. It just means like, okay, are we set first, or are we at least on a good trajectory that then we can kind of focus over here, right? So always remember, like everything in life, like put your oxygen mask on first, you know, then go and help everyone else, then go and save the world, and then go and change the world and all of those great things. So I did a little like poking around on the internet, and I found this interesting dollar amount. Actually, kind of, it didn't blow me away, but it just sort of reinforces to me like the astronomical costs of college and really how ridiculous it is. I mean, it is far outpacing inflation, and it's obvious why so many listening have massive student loan debt and are frustrated with it. And, you know, I still am paying off my student loan debt from when I got my master's in business. And it's frustrating. It just makes me mad, right? And I'm sure it makes a lot of you just really pissed off too. But let's say you had a one-year-old now, right? And you wanted to pay for 4 years of private college when they got to 18. Guess how much that would cost you in today's dollars? Okay, are you ready? Are you sitting down? Like, seriously, put that oxygen mask on if this is you. Somewhere around $417,000 to get through those 4 years of college in 17 years, right? That's a lot of money. So the average cost right now for a four-year private school is around $42,000 a year. in that 18 years, if costs rose 5% a year, every year, and they will, a lot of times they're rising higher than 5%, just one year of college is going to cost $96,000. I mean, this is ridiculous. $417,000, like, we could buy a house for that amount of money. And I'm not knocking education by any stretch of the imagination, but look, if you got a little child right now, I would be, I'd be honing the talents, right? I'd have them in music class, have them in sports, maybe learning some languages. Like, let's get some skills for this kid. Let's get them some scholarships. Let's do whatever like voodoo magic we got to do in the middle of the night to like make them, you know, bounce up in the early morning and want to like go practice at some crazy hour so they can become, you know, the best of the best. That's horrible to say. It really is. It's really horrible. And, I'm sorry for saying it, but I mean, it's the reality here. That's just, it's so much money. And so one popular way to actually pay for at least a portion of the college costs is something called a 529 plan. And 529 is just the IRS code. So it's 529 doesn't stand for some like, you know, James Bond-esque code. It's just the IRS code. And the 529 plan is like an IRA where you can save through education through tax-free earnings in investment choices. So the gains on the accounts are tax deferred. And once the funds are used to pay for what's called qualified tuition expenses, parents will never pay taxes on those funds. And the money in these accounts can be used for undergraduate or graduate studies at any 2 or 4 year campus in the US. So savings in a 529 plan, they actually belong to the parent and not to the child. Also, any additional benefit with a 529 plan is that, let's say the child says they don't want to go to college, which happens all the time, especially now. There's so many other options. You know, you can go to cooking school or you can go to trade school or whatever it may be. The parent, whoever owns the 529 account, can actually just change the beneficiary. That way, you know the money will be used for education and the kid just can't take the money and run, right? So let's say the kid decides that they don't want to go to college, but maybe you want to go back and get your master's, or your spouse wants to go back and get their master's, or maybe there's another kid, you know, that comes along and they want to go to college. You can change the beneficiary and use the money towards any or all of the above. So there is some flexibility. And, you know, while the 529 savings plans, they offer a lot of advantages, they also come with restrictions, right? There's a pro and con to everything, let's face it. So that's kind of the lesson when we're talking about money, is there's a pro and a con, and you really have to decide it internally in your own family, you know, what makes most sense to you. So according to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission's website, 529 savings funds can be withdrawn tax-free only for those qualified education expenses. Those are things like tuition, books, fees, supplies, room and board, those sorts of things. Money that's spent on unqualified expenses is subject to a 10% penalty on earnings and income tax. So just like your IRA or your 401k or your Roth, if you take it out before 59 and a half, you have penalties. So the same thing with the 529 plan. And they do that because, you know, you have kind of that nice tax deferred growth inside the account, and then you can take it out tax free. Well, the IRS is not going to let you double dip or triple dip. They want some sort of restriction on the money. So if you take the money out for anything other than these qualified education expenses, it's income taxed and there's a 10% penalty. So when you set one of these up, you know, I always tell people, like, I don't think you should put, let's say, for instance, you know, over the course of 17 years, you could actually save that $417,000 in this account. Maybe you might not want to save that much just for the risk of, you know, what if that child goes 2 years to school and then stops going to school? Or what if they're their only child and, you know, you don't need that much? So again, this is family specific, and only you know what's going on in your family. Only you know, you know, what you're planning for the future. So I'm just here to give you choices. I'm here to give you ideas and thoughts and strategies and tips and all sorts of things. And then you take them back and go, okay, well, what actually works for us? So another great thing about a 529 plan, if this actually applies to you, is there are some states that offer tax breaks. So in addition to federal tax savings, there's over 34 states that currently offer a full or partial tax deduction or credit for the 529 plan contribution. So California is not one, unfortunately, but there are a lot of states where you actually could get a full or partial deduction for the money that you put, or a portion of the money that you put into the 529 plan. So that might be a great tax saving strategy as well as saving for college. So I'll make sure in the show notes to put a link to the states where you can go and check out and see, you know, depending on what state you live in, whether that applies to you. So every state has a 529 plan. And just because you live in one state doesn't mean you can't use another state's plan. And not all states' plans are created equal, right? There are some states' plans that are better than other states. So I'll make sure and put that link as well in the show notes. So what you want to do first is, if you're thinking of opening a 529 plan for your child, is look, okay, does my state offer a tax deduction or credit? If the answer is yes, then use your state plan. If the answer is no, then the second question is, okay, well, is my state plan good, or should I use another state's plan so I can have, you know, the most robust saving plan? So unlike Roth or other education savings accounts, 529 plans actually have no income limits, age limits, or annual contribution limits. However, there are lifetime contribution limits, and these vary by plan. So you want to check this out depending on which plan you choose. But most range from $235,000 to $500,000. So what that means is that is the accumulated max that you can put in that 529 plan, okay? And if you're looking to reduce estate taxes, you can also elect to treat a 529 plan a little differently. So you can actually make a contribution between $14,000 and $70,000. And if it was made over a five-year calendar period, you actually qualify for the annual gift tax exclusion. Again, probably a little over your head. You don't need to actually know about that. Just kind of want to let you know that there are some restrictions. So there aren't income restrictions. So regardless of your income, you can open a 529 plan, right? There aren't age limits. So age limits don't matter, but there are lifetime contribution limits, right? So again, you want to check whichever plan you're looking into and just find out what is that contribution limit. You know, if it's $250,000, but you know you want to try and fund 100% of your child's education, well, then maybe choose a state's plan where it's a $5,000. That would not cover very much, would it? $5,000. $500,000 limit. And so that just offers you more flexibility. Again, you don't have to decide upfront how much money you're putting into the 529 plan. You can do it, you know, month by month, year by year, day by day. You know, you can stop some years, start some years. And again, you have investment choices. So most 529 plans, they're limited by the investment choices, but you know, they do offer a lot of the same kind of target date funds like you might see in your IRA and 401k, all right? So there are lots of options to choose from. Again, check out the show notes and do some research on these things, please. Like, don't just jump and open one up and really sit to think about, you know, where are we financially as a family? Like, are we secure? You know, can we contribute to this? I always say, like, there's no sense in starting one if you're going to contribute for like 1 or 2 years and then never contribute again. It doesn't do you any harm, right? The money's still going to be there. The money's still going to be growing, but it doesn't necessarily make sense. You can also use a Roth IRA to save for college. So the R in IRA obviously stands for retirement. But because you can withdraw contributions at any time, tax and penalty free, the account can serve as a great tax-deferred college savings plan. So I found this example online, and I thought this was pretty good. Let's say you and your your spouse, you each set aside $5,000 in a Roth starting the year that your child is born. After 18 years, both Roths would hold about $375,000, assuming an 8% annual growth. I think that's a little high. I think you should actually figure somewhere around 6%. But for the sake of argument, this is the example. So up to $180,000, that is the total amount of contributions that you put in, can be withdrawn tax and penalty free. And any part of the interest can be withdrawn penalty free too, to pay for college bills, right? So there's a little loophole in the Roth. So again, a Roth is not a bad idea, but remember for the Roth, like you have to be under the income restrictions for these things to really work for you, right? Again, I'll put a link to the income restrictions in the show notes so you can check that out. It's going to change every year, but if you're right on the cusp of a combined salary, this year, if you're married filing jointly, if you make over $190,000 combined, you can't contribute to a Roth. So if you're close to that, if you think in a couple years you're going to go over that mark, may not make the most sense for you. Again, not a bad idea if you do it for a few years, your money's still there, your money's still growing, but you may not get the leverage that you really want. Sure, you can use your own retirement plan as well, but again, nobody's going to give you that loan for retirement. I wish that existed. You know, if we could actually create that and like trademark that, that would be a big, big seller. There's other things like cash value life insurance. I know there's a lot of people who talk negatively about life insurance. I cut my teeth on life insurance when I started in the financial industry, and I've seen life insurance do some really good things for people while they're alive. But again, it's not the right fit for every single person. And I think that's why it's so important when we're talking about money is not just to take what your friends or your parents or your aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters say as gospel, because what works for them might not work for you and for your personal situation. That's why it's really important to just identify your goals, identify what you and your family, you know, meaning your spouse or your significant other, what do you guys want to achieve? And then what are the tools that you can plug in there to get to success, all right? And of course, there's always the plan of no plan, no savings. You know, some parents think that it makes more sense not to save at all for the kid's future. And you know, the idea of having no college savings also means there's no assets for you to tap into. But, you know, a common error, again, is for parents to save for their kids' future before addressing their own needs. And I see this time and time again. That's why I keep repeating it. I'm hoping that like in the 10 or 12th time that I've repeated this in the podcast, that maybe this has sunk in. You know, put on your own life vest, your own oxygen mask first. And again, this is not saying that you're neglecting your child, but this is saying that you're taking care of yourself first. And look, if your child has to get student loans, it's not the end of the world. There are so many scholarships out there. Scholarship opportunities are getting more and more robust, and it is easier and easier to find scholarship now with online. I mean, when I went to undergrad, of course there were scholarships out there, but you know, we didn't have access like on the internet that we do now to really find the scholarships. Everything was new then, and there just wasn't as much access to information. And so I think that's only going to get easier and easier down the road. So again, do that like voodoo night trick with your child. it would not be above me, or below me, however that works. But the point is there's always a way. There's always a way to figure something out. You know, a lot of times people say to me, oh, there's no way to do this. And I'm like, of course there's a way. We just have to find out what the way is and then figure out how to make it work. But if you are thinking about dabbling in saving for your child's college, you know, you can open a 529 plan. Those are great plans. I did see that in 2008, 2009, when everything took a really big hit, 529 plans got decimated as well. And, you know, that's really the con of using any type of investment vehicle like this for savings is, you know, there is a risk, right? And, you know, we hope that that doesn't happen again when your child tries to go to college, but that is a reality. So don't make one thing your one plan. Have different buckets, have different options, have different places you can turn to. And if at the end of the day you have to turn to loans in order for your investments to recuperate, then that's what you have to do, right? Don't beat yourself up about it. And also, if you know, let's say you're in 30s and you've got, you know, a five-year-old by now, you're listening to this podcast, don't freak out. It's not too late. You haven't ruined anything, okay? So I guess the point of this podcast is just to breathe. Everybody, let's just take a collective breath. Okay, we feel better, right? I feel better. I hope you feel better. And we can do this together. So hopefully I'll have a few more podcasts coming up, because I know there's been a lot of questions about saving for kids and also how to teach kids to budget and save and all of those great things as well, because we can never start them too early. But just a little primer on saving for college for your child. And get out there, do some investigation, look at the links in the podcast notes, and figure out what works best for you. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Shauna Game, Instagram at millennial_money. And the website address is now shaunagame.com. So super easy for you to hop over to the website and you can check out all the podcasts and all the other great tips that we got up there to help you with your finances. Mm-hmm.